It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me today for It's a Good Life. Now, if you'll recall in our last study of the book of Romans, we left off in chapter 15 and verse 33. Well, verse 33 says this, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Well, this is the benediction of blessing that Paul the Apostle gives. And of course, it's not the end of the book. Now, we've got another chapter to go through. But Paul normally ended each of his epistles with a benediction such as this one. But it's not the end of the letter, and we're going to see that as we look further into the book of Romans. And what a privilege it is to be able to study God's Word. And I count it a privilege to be able to share with you God's Word. Now, we've been looking at this for several days now, several lessons, and I would like to start now with Romans chapter 16. Now, as we look at this in verses 1 through 24, the first section, it's commending the servants and saints. And that's what Paul the Apostle is doing. And in verses 1 and 2, it says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also." Well, in these first two verses, we see a commendation of someone by the name of Phoebe. Phoebe, he says, is a sister servant of the church in Corinth. And you look in Acts chapter 18 and verse 18, it says this, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow." Now we keep reading there about Cenchrea. There was a port of Corinth, and Paul the Apostle once again is commending this sister Phoebe from the church in Corinth. And we go on now and we look in verse 2 and we see help for someone who helps others. Paul says, "Assist her." Now Phoebe was a servant in the church, and now he's saying, "You saints, you need to assist her in whatever thing she needs. And also, you help her as you would help me." Now in verses 3 through 5, it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ." Well, Paul the Apostle gives credit where credit is due. Now, of course, he takes credit in the name of the Lord. He doesn't take personal credit. He says, "It's the Lord who does the work," and he passes these people on that he's speaking of here as fellow laborers, as those who are helping him in the Lord. We see further admonitions that Paul is going to give here in verses 3 through 5. He says, "Welcome Priscilla and Aquila." These are Paul's helpers. Now, they evidently helped Paul in doing what he couldn't do, and who also, it would appear, jeopardized their own lives for Paul and every church in the Gentiles. Well, notice now in verse 4, the lives merchant jeopardized. They placed their own lives in jeopardy. And there evidently was a church in their house, according to the first part of verse 5. And it was also there to welcome a saved Grecian. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." He's saying there was a Grecian or a Greek coming, and you are to welcome the Greeks. You are to understand there is neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, that we're all one. You see how this is carried throughout the entire book of Romans. He's saying there's no difference in any of us. He's saying that the same God is over all. whether you're a Jew or a Greek, Gentile, or whatever you are. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, it carries this thought through where it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all the same. And you're going to receive these people, Paul's saying, to the church. Well, in Romans chapter 16 and verse 6 through 16, Paul says this, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Genea, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Well, those are some names, aren't they? Now, you know, I may not have pronounced all those names right, and I'm sure I didn't, but God knows who they are. And if you're reading along with me, you can see there may be a problem pronouncing these names, but you've got the idea that Paul is telling these people, you need to welcome all these individuals. Now, he's giving a recommendation here, saluting and commending saints that we see specifically in these verses 6 through 16. Now, there are 23 named individuals here, a sister, two households, some brethren, other saints. He's commending churches and a mother. And we see this as we study Paul the Apostle and the epistles, the letters he has written to churches, how that he commends other individuals. And we see this especially in these verses, Romans chapter 16, verse 6 through 16. And then verses 17 and 18, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Well, there are many people, even today, who confuse individuals. They have something that sounds good, but it's not the doctrine of our Lord. Now, we need to understand that there are basic Bible doctrines. The doctrine, first of all, that is the most important, is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of salvation. And this is through His blood that we are saved. And then there are other doctrines, of course. And of course, the word doctrine means teaching. The whole Bible is the doctrine, and we need to teach it word for word as God breathed it, and it was penned down by Paul and the other writers of the Bible. Well, how do we know that someone is teaching right? How do we know if they're teaching something wrong? Well, you need to get into the Word of God, and the Spirit of the Lord will lead you. It's like a switch that goes off when you hear something contrary to the Word of God, if you know it. If you've studied the Word of God, it's like that switch that goes off when you hear something contrary to a doctrine of God. In verses 17 and 18, we do see a warning there. He says to point out those who cause divisions among you. Now, verses 19 and 20, he says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Well, here we see recognized obedience and results. Verse 19, the first part of that verse says, everybody knows about you. And then he says, you're to be wise. Know much about what is good and don't study evil. I once had a Bible teacher who said, if you're studying the cults or you're studying about Satan, study just a little while and then get into the good things, the things of the Word of God. Don't dwell on what is bad. Well, in verse 20 of Romans 16, it says there's a promise and there's a prayer that we see. The God of peace shall bruise Satan. That's a promise. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, he says. Amen. And that's a prayer of Paul. Well, in Romans chapter 16 and verses 21 through 24, it says, Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, this greeting's from Paul, from his companions here. It says, greet them. And let me say that this Tertius, that he says, wrote this epistle. Paul would possibly have a penman who would write down, as Paul would dictate, what God had given him to write. And remember, this is all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Paul talks about Timothy. He talks about Lucius. And this is a Christian at Antioch. Acts 13, verse 1 says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now also we read the name of Jason here, and you can read about Jason in Acts chapter 17, verses 5 through 7. And the rest of these people are also mentioned in the Word of God. Now here's Paul's doxology in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Well, Paul talks about here the power to establish in verse 25, and it's according to Paul's good news, the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The power to establish is according to the proclaiming of Jesus Christ. The power to establish is salvation for the Gentiles, and God's commandment makes known in verse 26 by the Word of God. It's made known salvation for all saints by faith. And he says, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Do you know him today as your Savior? Ask him to come into your heart. Get serious with God and he'll get serious with you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. If you are saved, get busy for him and start serving the Lord with gladness in your heart.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.